Imagine a bank that believes in helping members save money instead of nickel and diming them, that offers free ATMs nationwide and doesn't charge monthly service fees. That's USAA Bank. Find out more at usaa.com/banking.
Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. You are tuned in, listening to live in the BDSR Network studios to the soul in sports, people. That's right. I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, like today's guest, I'm just being honest with you, people. I am hardcore, people. And as always, first, the particulars. Number to call in, 347-637-3859. It's number to call in. Make sure you follow us on social media, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Also follow the show. You're tuned in. You're listening to the show that hashtag the pros listen to, hashtag where barbershop talk meets radio at Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, sports. Also, people, make sure you follow me by my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And, hey, fellas, frankly, if you're not making her loud, then that's your problem. My wife has no complaints. But you know where to follow me at on the Twitter, people. But as always, for those who don't know, you're about to find out. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it simply this way, people. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. Because today it is going down right here in the barbershop as we'll be talking to one of the members of D-Generation X's own, Brian Jesse James, a.k.a. the Road Dog. Jesse James will be live here in the building in the barbershop. Matter of fact, people, to be honest with you, he just texted me and told me he's ready to come on air right now. But he has to wait because, hey, it's my opening monologue and I got to give it to you. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, people, this Saturday night, the mothership will hold back-to-back-to-back weeks as far as boxing is concerned as they welcome in, who I've been telling y'all for about a year and a half now, the greatest boxer not named Floyd Money Mayweather, Terrence Bud Crawford, trying to be the first fighter since Jermaine Taylor, since Bernard Hopkins, to unify all the belts in this division as he takes on undefeated 22-0, Mr. Julio Ndongo, takes on who I just said, Terrence Bud Crawford, 31-0 with 29 knockouts. You know what they say, somebody's O has got to go. And today is the SummerSlam show. And frankly, we're going to bring it to you like only we can. So, people, without further ado, because I'm answering all these phone calls I'm getting right now, now you want to be joining to the barbershop. We've been here for over 8 years, over 3 million episodes. Now y'all want to be on the line. But listen, hold on. Hold your thoughts. Hold your questions, because I got to bring in my crew, people. Welcome to the program, all the way from Miami, my brother and yours, the host of BDSR Radio's No Foul Play, Hugo! What's going on?
What's going on, Mike? I'm excited for your interview with Road Dogg. Just actually, before I got on today's show, just finished just finished recording No Foul Play. Should be up on the network soon. Lots of good things coming, Mike. I am excited. Let's get the soul in sports running, my man.
Listen, as I said today, SummerSlam, our show. This is what we do, Hugo. Hashtag Fridays is what? Lock it up. So we will be locking up everything today. My Birds played yesterday. I mean, Washington plays this weekend. Dallas plays this weekend. Everybody plays this weekend, as we are going to get into the second week of preseason. Like I said, my boy Terrence Butt Crawford is fighting, and right now it's just amazing. Hugo, do me a favor, make the beautiful bean footage go right now, because I need people to understand, because you've been here from the beginning. How long I've been promoting Terrence Butt Crawford?
Since how long I can remember, Mike. I've been here for 6 years, so it's been a long time, Mike. I agree. I'm with you. You've been promoting Crawford forever now, man. Forever.
Listen, all I know is what I know, and I know sports. You know what I mean? I told y'all before, I had an interview that I did with Brett the Hitman Hart, and he told me I knew my stuff. You know what I mean? So I had an interview with Sal Perantonio, and he told me I knew my stuff. So I don't really care.
You remember that, right?
I don't really care what you folks got to say about me. If you don't like it, listen anyway, people. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Right now, we're going to take a small break so I can go ahead and do what we got to do and bring on Mr. Road Dogg, Jesse James. He's awaiting a phone call. We're going to go ahead and give him a call right now. So what we're going to do, like I said, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP, Hopewell, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. SummerSlam show's about to start in about 3 minutes. We'll be right back, y'all.
Is your back bothering you, even right now? At the end of the day, do you feel tension in your back or neck? It's possible that the years of playing sports, carrying your kids, gardening, raking, or even sitting at your computer are catching up to you. Often, it's the most simple of activities that can cause back or neck pain. Aria Family Chiropractic Centers in Colonial Heights, Petersburg, and Richmond may be able to help you live a healthy and pain-free life using only gentle, holistic spinal care. Our experienced doctors will uncover the reason you're in pain and treat you with natural solutions to your health care problems. To make an appointment at Aria, call 804-526-7125. Most insurance coverage, including Medicare, is accepted, providing natural solutions for a pain-free life. Call 804-526-7125. ARIYA, familychiropractic.com.
The Hopewell News. We bring you more local news, local sports, club news, as well as politics, local and abroad, providing special interest stories and all of the vital information you need to keep up to date. Remember, if you have any news tips or newsworthy items, email the newsroom at editor@hopewellnews.com or call 458-8511. Subscribe today and save.
South Park Carpet Flooring Outlet and Chester Floor Superstore has the finest brands of carpet and vinyl flooring available. They offer warehouse prices to the public and have the largest selection of remnants for purchase. Expert installation, normally the next business day, for both residential and commercial work. Call or visit South Park Carpet at 860 West Rosslyn Road, off I-95 at exit 53 in Colonial Heights, Virginia. Call them at 804-520-2763 or
sorry, Sports Director Glenwood Thomas. I had to interrupt the ads right now because, frankly, I gotta do this the way only I know how to do it. Now, I've introduced a lot of people from them to her to her. But this is an honor of mine, and I want to make sure I get this completely done the right way. So do me a favor here in the barbershop. Y'all know how we do. Stand on your feet. Oh, you didn't know. For the one, I'm going to say, because I don't care what you say, the only Road Dog Jesse Sane. What's going on, Road Dog? How you doing, my friend?
Hey, what's going on with you, man? I can't follow that. I can tell you that much.
Listen, I've been practicing that for years, just so you know, for this moment.
I tell you what, you got it down pat.
I'm trying. That's all I can say. So I'm trying. How you doing, man? I haven't spoke to you in a while since 10 years gone. Never forgotten the Yokozuna tour.
Yeah. Well, I've never forgotten that night either. To say the truth, I was ashamed of some of my company's behavior. But we had a good time anyway. It was for a good cause. Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm sitting up here in my office in the WWE headquarters in Stamford. Head over tomorrow to Brooklyn for 4 days in the Barclays. WWE's running wild all over NYC. So we got NXT, we got SummerSlam, we got Raw, we got SmackDown Live. WWE's just doing the dang thing, and I'm just trying to keep up with them.
Well, what else is new? The WWE's always doing the dang thing.
And there ain't no off season, that's for sure. I can't wait just to get home and kiss my grandbabies.
I hear that, and I'm glad right there. I'm gonna start right where you went. You said there's no off season because you know, in the wrestling community, they're always saying, "Well, after SummerSlam, that's like the off season for the WWE because NFL coming back." I'm saying, "What are you guys talking about? There's no off season. Survivor Series has to come in a couple more months after that, right?" So you just clearly
We've been in meetings talking about all of them, and when you look at that schedule, you know it. It may be off season for the fan, but it ain't off season for the boys. That's for dang sure.
Yeah. Well, there can't be no days off. So right now, we know you are one of the members of the Generation X. You know, once the original connection went on, Sean, you know, got injured and left, and then you guys came and joined the Generation X, and a lot of people's minds making it even a bigger climactic group than the original. You know, to each their own, tomato tomato. How did you feel stepping into those shoes? And I know we've seen interviews here and there, but I'll have to ask guys myself up close. I mean, I'm talking to them myself, how they felt. How did it feel coming into that situation, joining D Generation X back then after Sean had departed?
Well, and it was really crazy because the New Age Outlaws had just formed and kind of started getting on the scene a little bit. And so Hunter and Sean kind of confronted us and said, "Hey, what do you guys think about being a part of it?" We tried to play it cool. And once we walked around the corner and out of sight, we jumped for joy because we thought, dang, that's an opportunity to be on TV and to be on TV in a positive way. So, you know, we were friends with those guys already. I had known Hunter. We worked together for WCW and they'd come 93, I think it was, 94 maybe. And so we've known each other for a long time, and Sean had known my family. And so we got along great, and it just seemed to click, man. Me and Hunter and China, to an extent as well, have really good comedic timing. And not to take anything away from X-Pac and Billy and Sean, but Hunter and myself seem to work really well together. As far as comedic timing and just kind of producing stuff backstage ourselves. Back then, you know, we had writers and stuff, but they kind of wrote you into some scenarios. You kind of had to act your way out of them. So that's what we did, and we were really good at it. And fast forward like 20 years, I guess 20 and change, and Hunter called me back, you know, and said, "Hey, we used to be really good at that. You want to try to do it again?" And so that's how I got my gig, my present gig now. Back with him. It's good to be back together with him, man, because we do sometimes together, we get together and we make creative magic.
Well, I agree with that as far as the magic is concerned. And you say 20 years ago, it makes me feel old.
Well, it makes me feel old too.
It's like, man, where has time gone in that time? Now, what do you think is some of the differences between, you know, your generation and today's current generation that maybe some of the current wrestling fans are older. I like to call them crackhead wrestling fans. You know, like they want what they had and they can't get a go. It's like the base heads, you know, let it go.
Yeah,
what do you think one of the biggest
things? They're chasing that original high, and
right,
Lord
right,
knows
right.
I know exactly. Lord knows I know exactly where they're coming from. But you know, a big difference that I see is not only you know, cultural changes and on a whole, but people are just different. It's just different nowadays. And of course, we all long for yesteryear, and we all want what was when we were younger. It was all awesome. And now we're a little older, and we're a little jaded, and now we have social media, and now we are a little smarter when it comes to the industry, and now we all know everything about it, and we have that platform to go on there and talk about it. And so, look, I think people look back at yesteryear in their lives, and they think, oh man, it was so good then. I think you could argue that it was kind of crazy then. I watched some of the Monday Night Raw episodes from back then, and man, it was just crazy, chaotic television. There was never any endings to the matches. There was never clean
right.
finishes. There was always run-ins and promos in every segment, and like, it was crazy and chaotic when I watch it now. Like, at the time, I thought it was awesome, but now, you know,
right.
now I'm a little different dude. And again, I do think it's you know, it's like the Talking Dead, where you get to watch the show, but then you go on after it and kind of get
right.
to critique the show and talk about it, and it kind of takes the fun out of it, in my opinion.
Okay, you know what?
I also think you talked about how things grow. I also think the sport itself, the industry itself, has evolved, and I didn't mean the in-ring action. I mean, you know, it's a little bit faster paced. It's a little
mm-hmm.
bit. More spotty, if I can use an inside term.
So
I think the executing the matches themselves has changed a little, and I think that's because the culture in the wrestling industry fan base has changed a little more. I want to see some more athleticism, but the thing is they would still buy that slow-paced emotional physicality if they got it. They just don't get it a whole lot anymore. And I'm talking about old school stuff like Taker and
right.
Shawn and Taker and Hunter and them Hell in a Cell matches. And you know what I mean? It's not a whole bunch of spots, but it's emotional. And it kind of gets you sitting on the edge of your seat.
Now, right there, I want to touch on that one little part right there you're saying as far as the differences and things. And we talk about the wrestling fans. What do you think's probably missing from that? Because everybody wants the yesteryear. Why do you think maybe the company or is maybe too afraid to maybe push that envelope a little bit? Because I think, and it's just my opinion, I'm 42 years old. I've been watching wrestling for 35 years. You know what I mean? And like you said, everything in the Attitude Era wasn't great. You know what I mean? You had great moments, and I think that's what stands out in people's minds. But I believe a lot of product today is, you know, better in a sense as far as storyline is concerned as it was then. Do you think that stories are, you know, maybe better today and fans, given the time, would let them unfold? I always say hashtag wrestling is storyline. Do you think fans maybe should just let the stories unfold before they, you know, go to social media complaining so quickly?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course I would say that because I get the blunt end of their punishment a lot of times on there. but with the hashtag Fire Road Dog that trended a couple times. And it's
right.
it's immediately when their show ends in a way that they don't like it, or when a show – you have that platform to go to and voice your opinion and voice your displeasure. And that's cool. I mean, I get that. I want to yell at, you know, bark at the moon when I don't get my way either. I totally understand it. But yeah, I think they should be a little more patient. And look, if I'm a wrestling fan, man, I want to watch wrestling, and I'm going to watch wrestling. And I'm waiting last night on a meeting, and I was watching Impact Wrestling because I'm a wrestling fan, and I'm not critiquing
okay.
what they're doing or talking about. You know, I got friends down there, and I got
right.
But I love wrestling, so I watch wrestling. And if you're going to watch wrestling, like, I don't know, man, don't take the fun out of it for yourself. Just watch it, enjoy. I mean, I don't know. It's just a difference of opinions, and I'm also almost 50 years old. You know what I mean? So
right.
I've lived through some crazy times, and I'm a little more calm and cool nowadays than I used to be. So I get it. They're passionate, man. They love their wrestling, and they want to get their wrestling their way. And we don't always give it to them their way. Look, we're a publicly traded company, and it's rated G, and that's how it is, and that's better for business. Whether you want to, you know, whether they believe that or not, or whether they want to believe it or not, it's just how it is. And I'm glad that I work for a company now that's, you know, their mantra is we put smiles on people's faces worldwide. And that's the idea, man. When you see the kids scream, wearing a Cena shirt and screaming,
absolutely,
Cena, you know, that's not what the guy who's wearing the Kevin Owens shirt is thinking about, but mm-hmm. that's what the business side of what we do is thinking about. And that's the future. You know what I mean? So it's a company that I can be proud to be a part of. When I look back on being a part of D-Generation X, I kind of think, man, I was a part of a whole culture like that told people to suck it and stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's not cool. I don't want my grandbaby growing up seeing her pawpaw doing that. So right. I can be proud of the product we put out now, where I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, and I know people want it a little edgier and a little more hardcore, but that's not what we're going to do, because we're now a publicly traded company with sponsors and corporate social responsibility to those sponsors.
Well, you know, like you just said, we went from the generation of suck it to now kids, they are dabbing all over the place. And if you ask a grandmother, you better have them dab than walk up to some, you know, little girl and say those, you know, and say those words. I myself, having children, understand that now that I'm older than I was then. Do you think with, you know, the generation we have, the younger guys that are there now watching what you guys brought before them, do you think they're having a hard time maybe finding their place with the current ratings that we have and the storylines they're trying to tell? Because I always, like I said, wrestling is storyline. I give everybody a chance for months and months and months to come before I, you know, say my beliefs or my disbeliefs. Do you think maybe the younger crop is having a harder time finding that place? And as Vince would say back in the day, or going for the brass ring or reaching for the brass ring?
Yeah, I mean, I totally think they are having a difficult time. And look, the reason being is, you look back at that, just like me and you are talking right now, they watch. They were fans then. Now they're in the industry and they're working and they're like, wait, I can't say, you know, I can't say cuss words on here. Well, I saw The Rock do it. I saw the Road Dogg do it. Can I not say, you know, what I want to, can I not do this? Can I not do that? And yeah, that's the easy way to get a pop. And we did it the easy way to get a pop, but even that burns itself out, you know, because then you got to go further to get that reaction. Then you got to pull your daggum pants down to get that reaction. So it's hard because they saw us do that and now they simply cannot do that. And so we haven't found that other John Cena yet, that other guy, that other Rock yet, that other Stone Cold Steve Austin yet. And believe you me, we're looking, and we got guys that have the potential to be that person. And so we have to, it's a fine line. We have to allow them to be themselves and to go out on a limb, but all while kind of toeing the company line and not going too far. You know what I mean? So it's a difficult situation, but I also feel like wrestling's never been as good as it is right now. And I'm talking about worldwide with New Japan and Ring of Honor and the Lucha Underground and Impact and WWE. And it's just, holy mackerel, wrestling is on fire right now, whether it's indie wrestling or some of the promotions I mentioned or the global conglomerate, the WWE. Wrestling is—it's good to be a fan right now.
I agree, and I'm glad you let Tamia cut out the bad that people say. Well, he won't be able to say that he watches TNA, or they can't say, you know, they watch New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, you're a wrestler, you was a wrestling fan before you became a wrestler. You know, I would assume that anyway to make yourself get into the business. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Like, I watch the product, A, because I have friends, and A, because I love wrestling and itself right there. So, what do you think of, you name guys like The Rock, like John Cena, you know, some of the big timers, the all-time greats in the business that you've had a chance to work with and whatnot. Do you like the fact when the part-timers come back? I have a motto where they come back to help the younger guys get over. Do you believe in that motto? And B, do you like the way that the part-timers come in here and go? Because fans are very critical of it. I myself say it's for the business. I heard Jericho podcast say having him and Owens at WrestleMania would have been great for fans, but for the business, you got Goldberg and Lesnar. That was a bigger global market. Would you agree with those statements as well?
Yeah. I totally agree with those statements. And I agree, like you said, it would have been great for the fans. Now, it would have been great for what I would like to call the very passionate or the hardcore fans. You can definitely not compare Jericho and Owens to Lesnar and Goldberg, you know what I mean, on a global scale from a promotional standpoint. However, Chris Jericho is a huge star and is always welcome back here because he does come back with the idea and the mentality of let's help the current boys and the current business, and it's not all about him. And I think for the most part, everybody that comes back, the part-timers, as you called them, comes back and kind of has that mentality. We've had a few that come back and still about them, and he's not really thinking about us or the future. And mm-hmm. and I don't hate that because it still serves a purpose. It still gets that huge promotion.
For
the industry. That's the difference between like trying to sell to a mass audience and trying to please the really passionate hardcore fans is when you're surrounded by all your buddies and you're all like-minded, that's the world to you. But if you got to realize people on Twitter, 0.5% of our viewers weekly react to our programming on Twitter. So less than 1% react on Twitter to our programming. And that's what you have to understand. If something trends on Twitter and there's 1,000 tweets with this hashtag, there's 2.5 million people watching on TV. So that 1,000 tweets, whether it be positive or negative, is kind of just a drop in the bucket. It's not a true litmus test of what people are thinking. It's just what those really passionate fans are thinking. So we got to balance all that out either, because you dang sure don't want to make them angry. You want to please them. They're the ones that are devoted to you the most, you know, so you want to please them, and we try, but it seems like it's getting harder and harder to do.
It's getting harder and harder to do because it's everybody, I like to call them, you know, and you've heard the term internet tough guys. You know what I mean? Like they watch something. My motto has always been, of course, I don't think you can say this, why watch something that you claim verbally on social media that you hate so much? They don't hate it. They just want what they want, chasing that high, as we talked about there. Now, being in the company, like you said, you come from D-Generation X, you're in the company now. How has, like, your personal walk been with your faith working through the wrestling business? Has that been difficult for you?
You know what? It hadn't. And before I got clean and sober and before I started living in a way kind of every day that would be pleasing to the Lord, and I don't mean to take us down a religious road here, but that's,
amen.
You asked me about my personal
glory
walk.
Be the God. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got sober and I started living. Now, prior to my sobriety date, I thought, how in the world could you be in the wrestling business and not be on dope? But since I've gotten clean and sober and again, started living in a way that I thought was pleasing to him, it's very easy, man. You just have to stay focused and stay, you know, take the next step and not project too much fear onto the future and not kind of, you know, regret too much about your past. Just live in the day. And I'm very thankful for all the gifts I've been given, man. I'm very, keep it in perspective, because I stay in nice hotels that the company pays for me. They pay for me to go to rehab and get clean and sober. They pay for this rental car I'm driving and the car that's going to pick me up and take me to Brooklyn tomorrow. They take care of me. And they literally gave me a second chance at life and a second chance to do what I love to do. And I do it for free. Just don't tell nobody. So when I toe their company line on social media and verbally in the streets or whatever, I get a lot of kickback from that. Man, if somebody pulled you out of a burning house and set you back up on your feet, it feels like you'd stand up for that person too. So man, my personal walk's never been better in my life. And again, just thankful I get to do what I love to do and get paid for it.
I know that's right. Well, we all would love to do that, right? That's what we're all trying to strive for. So now I know our time with you is short here, so I'm going to try to bring this to the current product this weekend as we started off the show is SummerSlam. We got going out in Brooklyn, four big days. To me, and what the world knows, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year next to WrestleMania. I'm looking at this card like this card is just as big as WrestleMania to me. You know what I mean? As far as some of the matches are going, and I like where Raw and I like where SmackDown has been the last 60 days going into this. People, you know, you guys got the hashtag Fire Road Dog things that were going out there. When you hear those kind of things leading into SummerSlam, and like I just said, these last 2 months being really, really good, and people are criticizing things in the company, especially what happened on Tuesday night with Baron Corbin losing his Money in the Bank briefcase. Do you think that he can recover from that and come back? People are saying that he's already done. I'm like, listen, he's a young guy. That doesn't mean the company gives up on somebody because they lose the money in the bank. I'm actually happy, and I'm a Corbin guy. I mean that true and true. I think Baron Corbin's a really good talent. I like the fact that somebody lost the money in the bank. It's not a guaranteed championship. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say exactly the same thing you just said. And on top of that, they did it on live television. You didn't have to pay. And by the way, I'll bring up that $9.99. Holy mackerel. Pay-per-views used to be $60 a pop. Now you get them for $9.99 a month. And so this live happened on live TV. Now SmackDown Live is unpredictable. Now things will happen. Now you got to tune in. Now we're getting closer to the Attitude Era than we ever were before. So in my mind, when people say stuff like that, it's like they think Baron Corbin's done. For the love of Pete, Baron Corbin's just beginning, and so is SmackDown Live. He is in a great place with the company. If the dirt sheets didn't have something to speculate about, they wouldn't have no news at all. So I get them trying to find answers for all this stuff, but sometimes they're just creative decisions that are made. I think Baron Corbin has got a huge future here with the WWE, but especially in the short term with SmackDown Live. And as far as SummerSlam goes, man, what a packed card. Some would argue that it's too much wrestling for one night, but with a co-branded pay-per-view mm-hmm. with SmackDown Live and Raw on there, man, you gotta button up some stories, and you got a lot of matches in which to do so. So 2-hour kickoff. 4-hour pay-per-view. That's following NXT TakeOver, where Bobby Roode faces Drew McIntyre for that NXT yeah. title.
Still the chosen
one. And then you got Raw and SmackDown Live. So man, WWE's on fire. And if that's not your cup of tea, like I said earlier, man, there's a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling / sports entertainment today. So take your pick and don't pick it apart so much. Just have fun watching. And if you don't have fun watching, watch something else.
Well, I'm going to ask you these last two questions. I'm going to let you go. And thank you so much again for joining us. I'd like to call you a friend of mine, and we speak open and candidly, and I appreciate that. I'm a connoisseur for tag team wrestling. Right now, you got the New Day and the Usos going at it. A lot of fans, again, are crying because they're on the kickoff show. And I tell people, it's a kickoff show. That doesn't mean that they're off the card. They have to kick off the show. You want to kick it off with a good thing. You know what I mean?
Amen. That's the pace card.
That's the pace card. NASCAR fans, get up now, okay?
Yeah.
What do you see tag team wrestling at today? Because a lot of fans are, again, critical of that as well. And I think it's all about mix and matching. And you look at guys like on the Raw side, the Cesaros and Sheamus coming together. Fans didn't like that. Now they love it. Again, waiting until something unfolds before you complain. Do you like where tag team wrestling is right now, being the tag team specialist yourself?
I am a tag team guy. I love tag team wrestling. I love looking at it. And I also love where the divisions on both sides of the roster are at right now. Look, we got tag teams right now that don't even wrestle. The Breezango and the Ascension hadn't wrestled in months, but they're on TV every week in an entertaining fashion. The New Day just came to SmackDown Live. They're the SmackDown Live tag team champions. The Usos are on fire in a way that they have never been before. And man, they're probably my favorite team. The Sheamuses and Cesaros of the world, man, I knew that was going to be a bruising team from the get-go, and I love watching them work. And now Ambrose and Rollins back together, that match is going to be off the charts. I love the state of tag team wrestling, and I'm excited where the future will take us, because I happen to know for a fact there's going to be some mixes and some matches coming up soon that are going to be really entertaining for the people.
Well, I love that. I love those answers. I love that little that you just gave us right there, you know, for a fact. And roll on, there could be one thing right now you could change about your career. Anything, whether it was in the WWE, outside the WWE, I know your time in TNA. What would that one thing be if you could change it?
Well, I mean, of course, it would. It's a little deeper answer, but it would be I wish I hadn't have fallen prey to drug addiction because going back, I see it was the I regret a lot of the things I did. I don't dwell on them because that'll drive me to drinking again, but I regret them and I try to learn from them. But man, I cheated myself. And in turn, I cheated the fans out of Road Dogg having a really long and illustrious career because I got hooked on drugs. And so I'll take this opportunity right now as the platform you've given me, and I appreciate that, to say, man, if you haven't started taking drugs and you're a young athlete, don't start taking drugs. And if you have and you're a young athlete, seek help. Reach out and call somebody and ask for some help, because it's a dirty, dirty, ugly roller coaster ride, and you just can't get off by yourself. So asking for help is a strength, not a weakness. And just, man, don't do drugs. I ain't no Nancy Reagan, but I'm just telling you, don't do drugs.
It really is that simple. Next weekend, biggest, I hate to say this word, but they're using it, combat sporting event of all time. I just want to say fight. Conor McGregor, the notorious one, takes on Floyd Money Mayweather. You got a winner in this fight?
Man, I got to go with Mayweather. It's a boxing.
Does Conor have a chance?
I don't think he has a chance. I mean, I really don't. If he could kick Mayweather in the head, I think he'd take him. But he ain't allowed to do that in this game. This is a boxing match, and I got to go with Mayweather. Either way, I'm going to pay my money to see it.
I know that's right. SummerSlam this Sunday night, special start time, 7 o'clock p.m., kickoff show starts at 5 o'clock. I know Madden football's out. It can wait. I know that Game of Thrones comes on Sunday. Guess what, y'all? It leaked. I think they leaked it on purpose because they knew SummerSlam was on Sunday. Okay, if 50 Cent can leak Power, HBO can leak Game of Thrones. Make sure you guys check it out right here, right now. Friend of the program, my friend, now y'all's, Road Dogg, Jesse James. Thank you so much for coming to the program, Road Dogg. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, man, and thank you for plugging the pay-per-view like you did, and just thanks for giving me the platform to talk to you guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Y'all hold tight. You hold tight for me, too, y'all. Stand on your feet, y'all. The one, I'm going to say it again, y'all, the only, oh, you didn't know, your butt better call somebody. Jesse James! We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hold on, and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. I told you we're moving up like the devil, y'all. We'll be right back. And we are back, y'all. Woo! I had to go to, you know, what I do, and that's talk to people off air. Stop! Cut the music! When my mouth goes open, music goes shut! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, y'all. Listen, guys, what an interview. Road Dogg Jesse James came out. He said some things y'all thought he would not say. He addressed those things like the hashtag Fire Road Dogg. He talked about other promotions. He told you what he thought about Baron Corbin. He told you what's going on with them not having the John Cena's and the Rocks and Stone Colds of the world. Are you happy now? Probably not, because you're in the wrestling community, but it's okay. 347-637-3859 as I bring in Hugo back to the program, and also live from the DMV. He better have some ID because they know they'll pull his black ass over. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, fam? What's going on, people? Road Dogg, he was inspiring. Spiritually, he was very inspiring. Very inspiring.
I said that. Honestly, that question came from our program director. He said, yo, man, ask about his faith. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, the question didn't really come from him. The thought, the seed was planted for me to ask the question. From Prince, the program director, going on right there. But, man, what an interview, man. Like, it's not a lot of times I give myself a Barry Horowitz. You know what I mean? I don't really give myself
a pat in the back. That was a good interview.
Well, Mike, Mike, I've been with you for roughly about 6 years now, man, and I'll be honest with you. I think this is possibly the best interview you have had with a wrestler. I mean, I know we have Uncle Rikishi, comes on all the time, friend of the program. We all love him.
My uncle, your friend. Get it straight. Go ahead.
I'm just saying how you call him. But I think the way that you flowed with Road Dogg, the chemistry was there. He answered, obviously, questions. You gave him hard questions as well. He came back and answered them, and so eloquently. And I love the fact that he obviously opened up about his past, obviously about the whole drug addiction and all that. Thank God that he's sober. Obviously, he has a beautiful family. You could tell how much he loves his family. And I think that's what makes that interview so great, because I know how you are with your family. How much you love your family. Your family comes number one. You could definitely tell that Road Dogg's family to him is number one, and he's doing this for them. So it was absolutely fantastic, Mike. Great, great interview, man. I give you props. Too many props.
Appreciate it. Also, welcome to the program. He is back from being on Papa duty. Your Norman's Emmy Richmond on the Twitter, calling Papa Lee. His mama calls him Micah. What's going on, brother?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, that was a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic interview. One, Mike, with three X's, because it's spelled that way, because we know that you are hardcore. I really appreciate it, and it's just like what you said. You know, a lot of people have been going at one Brian James, one Road Dogg. They have been going at him, and I've been sitting here like, wow. I mean, some stuff, okay, I can see why you're mad, but things like that. And at the end of the day,
I don't think he has final call.
We all know that he doesn't have the final call. In fact, we can see that some of the things wouldn't be his particular final call, because
right.
It reeks of somebody else who we always go at,
mm-hmm.
because we know at the end of the day, no matter what show is on, we know that he has the final say.
Fire!
Sorry.
That's true.
That kind of hurt my throat.
You know, yeah, no, yeah, you know, you got to make sure.
I got my water. It's okay.
Yeah, you got to get that guttural tone going and make sure that's all good. You got to make sure it's all there. But, man, look, no. Seriously, I really appreciate the one thing that I always love about anyone who we have interviewed, anyone that has been interviewed, is when they're open and honest about things in their life, things in their
mm-hmm.
things in their profession. And I will tell you, by far, I honestly believe that wrestlers, no matter what promotion they're with, wrestlers are by far the most honest and open people when it comes to professional athletics and entertainment. They're not trying to shill for anybody. They're not trying to trying to tell you about climate change when they don't even know the science. They're not trying to make you a part of a political agenda. They tell you exactly what it is, how was in their life, what they stand on, and then if you don't like it, listen anyway.
That's the motto. My wife came up with that one. Shout out to my newest intern, okay, checking in right now. Y'all make sure y'all go follow her. I don't think her account's private, so all right, I hope I don't get in trouble with this. Major Page One, Pager One on the Twitter. Thank you for tuning in. Gonna have some big things of Guan coming with her in the weeks to come. Okay, and she's down here also in the Florida area with us. And as we are global here, the BDSR Network merged together on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. But enough about the interview. Okay, we let the people decide. You know, people like to rip off interviews. I've had several interviews from Dirt Sheets ripped off, you know. If y'all can rip off Sports Gamers Online, and you can rip off Mike Knox, it is okay. We know where it came from. I've been in Bleacher Reports, people. It's nothing new, okay? Do what you got to do. You heard it here, so do what you got to do. We know where it comes from. But before we talk about SummerSlam, probably got Wally here for a little bit longer. Probably talk about SummerSlam a little bit longer today, guys. Terrence Crawford fights tomorrow, Wally. And when he unifies these titles and becomes 32-0, and I'm predicting right now, can somebody please lock this up for me as he goes 32-0 with 30 knockouts and beats a very good opponent, right? I wish Jay Chris was here, because he knows how good Julio Ndongo is. He's undefeated, 22-0 with, you know, this guy's no shabby kind of fella,
okay? This is going to be a good fight, Wally. And then, my brother, you will become a fan and put him over all them other weak fighters you like. You know, Andre.
You better lock it up. You lock it up. You lock it up.
I did just lock it up.
Lock it up.
I did. Wally, I won't stand for any baloney this weekend. You better watch this fight tomorrow.
No, I'm going to be in a cookout, so I probably won't. But,
why are you going to come on at 10 o'clock at night? What cookout you going to be at? What are you going to be shooting?
Oh, man, it's an all-night. Come on, bro. It's an all-night cookout, man. You know how we do. This fight, I mean, I expect Terrence Crawford to win. And Dongo, he's fought who? 22? That's it? Are we really going to do this?
Here we go with this. He's a champion.
Look at my resume, man.
He's a two-time champion.
Look, man, who's a champion? Look, that's what we doing now? Who doesn't get
oh,
a belt?
My God.
Are we doing that
can
now?
Can somebody call Jay Chris? Is Jay Chris here?
Are we doing that now?
I've been here the whole time, man.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, the whole time.
Fire, avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan, okay?
It's a good,
avoid
it's
the
a
clap,
good
Jimmy
W,
Dugan. Jay Chris,
I'm saying it's not Andre. It's just not Andre. It's not Dre. I mean, it's a good win though. It's not Dre.
Jay Chris,
not Dre Ward.
Jay Chris,
and Dre Ward.
I'm not asking you to say he's going to be the king, as I say, next to Floyd Money Mayweather. But Jay Chris, is he fighting a bum tomorrow?
No, he's not fighting a bum. He's fighting a champion. I still feel he's going to outclass this dude.
I smell the hostility here.
I like Crawford. I'm a fan of Crawford. No, there's no hostility. He's not fighting a bum. I'm telling you that right now. He's fighting a champion. I fully expect him to dominate the fight though. At the same time, just so that's clear. And I'm going to watch it. I'm going to thoroughly enjoy the fight. That's my plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which your plan?
Okay. My plan is, listen. This time of year, I erase all my DVR has been backed up for the last 48 hours because Madden football came out. I will stop playing Madden to watch this fight tomorrow night. I stopped watching Madden yesterday to watch the first quarter of my Birds play. So, you know, I think I'm growing up.
You
know,
like
Darby?
You like Darby?
Here's my thing about Darby, right? And I think Jay Chris can answer because Jay Chris is a little mad at the trade at first. I was too. Here's my thing with Darby. Let me see it next week because getting an interception against your own team that you just left kind of like you kind of know they're you know what I mean, what they're going to do. A little bit, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of took that with a grain of salt. I did think both defenses played well. I think Philadelphia Eagles' offensive line is used to the stretch run, one cut back, and now that we have a downhill runner like Philly Blunt, LeGarrette Blunt, and, you know, they're going to call him Philly Blunt because, you know, whatever. Moving on. You know what I'm going, okay? I don't think they're used to that. So I think they're having right now in the first two preseason games, and first one not too much, but this one, they can't seem to run the ball downhill from my vantage point. Jay Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it like that about the offensive line, the way they block. But, yeah, it just seemed like they had a struggle bug yesterday and the previous week with blocking for LeGarrette Blunt. I mean, he's a downhill runner. He's a bruiser. He's a Jerome Bettis type of runner.
Right.
You know, you got to get pushed and then let him bowl through. That's what you got to do. You can't use a pass blocking technique when LeGarrette Blunt is running. You got to get pushed, okay? You could get away with some of the lazy stuff with a cutback runner because, you know, he's going to make people miss. LeGarrette Blunt's going to run right into you. He's going to run you over, and that's his job. That's what he's there for. That's what we're looking to see. But then again, Peters didn't play yesterday. They didn't keep the whole line together as will be seen on the first week of the season. You know, we'll see. When you see have a veteran like Peters, I think he'll get them together. Lane Johnson, you know, he'll be an all-pro player as long as he can stay off the juice. You know, I think they'll get it together. I think he's the biggest pickup of the offseason. Receivers included, I think LeGarrette Blunt is the biggest pickup of the offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wally, you watch it. So moving on from the Eagles, this is the AFC East radio program. Redskins go into their second preseason game. You are the Redskins Earth Thing podcast reporter. What are you expecting from their second preseason game right now?
Oh, I expect the offense to play a lot in the second game. Traditionally, you know, usually they get like a couple series. I mean, about 2 to 4 series. But I wouldn't be surprised if this unit plays, depending on how they play the whole first half. Last year, Kirk Cousins really he didn't play the second preseason game, and I think that contributed to him being a little bit slow. He had a slow start during the beginning of the season, so play most of the first half, so he can get a rhythm, so that can like kind of lean forward to the season over where he can have that rhythm with his wide receivers. Sue and Craig, so I want to see a competition in the safety position. I think the Shazer Everett will probably get that first slot, and we'll see what happens with Will Blackman. Maybe DJ Swearinger goes from free safety to strong safety, depending on what happens. But, again, I think the safety battle is intriguing, how the running backs run, because they didn't run well against the Ravens. And like I said, the offense, seeing Kirk Cousins get into a rhythm.
Now, do anybody have any word? King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter or social media to the stars and icons. Will Ezekiel Elliott be playing in the preseason game for the Dallas Cowboys? And I'm asking you this question.
He can.
Do you think he should? I think he's going to be suspended, whether it's six or whatever. I don't think he get reduced. I utter the words of Stephen A. Smith. It's not about whether he did it or he didn't do it. It's about upholding the integrity of the NFL. And the police was called to his residence for four straight days. So clearly something happened. You know what I mean? So it's not about if he did or he didn't. It's about you did something and you broke the code of conduct. So that gives you six games in a domestic dispute case. So should he play in these games coming up this weekend? Hugo, Micah?
I don't see no problem with him playing a preseason game. I mean, but if I was NFL, now I'm talking as a guy who just knows that preseason isn't important. He can get a couple of reps in before he has to go on his suspension. But if I was in the NFL, I would also stop him from playing preseason games because, you know, you're sending the message that, okay, well, my investigation was this and that and the third. But, you know, preseason doesn't really matter, quote, unquote. So let's just go ahead and we'll let you go ahead and just do the preseason. I mean, we gotta wait anyway, so
yeah.
It's all good. That doesn't make any sense.
Wasn't Tom Brady also suspended for a couple of games? He did last year. He played those preseason games.
Now that I remember that, that's why you are here. That's why you have a crew. He did play.
There's not really a significant why he shouldn't play. I mean, he does that time anyway, and to stay fit.
I guess I looked at it from a point of view of he's not going to be there. Maybe they got to see what else works with the starting lineup. Like, why have him inserted into the starting lineup that's going to play probably a quarter tomorrow, what I'm hearing, instead of getting into Van Morris's and getting those guys in with the starting lineup just to get that, you know, that cohesiveness as a group.
Yeah, chemistry.
The chemistry, cohesiveness. You know, I chose that word.
You chose yours. This much. Being a running back, he doesn't really need to work. It's not like he's a quarterback. I think quarterbacks need work. Running backs, they can kind of sit it out. Like, you saw Le'Veon Bell when he didn't play all of, like, last year's preseason. You saw how he just came into the season like gangbusters. Let's be real. He has a good offensive line. When he gets back, he'll have a good offensive line. He still can run. He still has vision. So he'll be good. Running backs can rest. And to be honest with you, it's still a blessing for him to rest anyway. We all know that running backs age at age of 30. So anytime you can kind of take that time off of them, regardless of the preseason or, you know, six games in the, you know, within that suspension, it does well for him, you know, in the long run.
Well, that's coming up this weekend. And, guys, before I let my non-wrestling fans go here, lock it up for me this weekend, Wally. Terrence Crawford and Dung Dongo, as well as Redskins preseason, and then follow the UJ, Chris. Lock it up for me this weekend. Lock up something for me this weekend. Go ahead. Lock it up.
Crawford wins easy. He wins easy. And Redskins win a preseason game. It's preseason also, but they win a preseason game.
You lock it up. Jay, Chris, lock up something this weekend for me. Because Monday we got a big show. We're going two divisions on Monday. We're going to do two divisions on Monday, and we're talking fantasy football, okay? Y'all know fantasy football, okay? Everybody knows I kind of did a really bad trade that I did with King Vaughn Jr., with Julio Jones for the Eagles defense, and Nelson Aguilar, okay? So I know people got mad about that trade, okay? Greatest trade in the fantasy football history in my mind, okay? But going to do two on Monday, and all that's going to happen on Monday. But, Jay, Chris, lock it up for me, man.
Well, I'm definitely going to lock up Terrence Crawford. I think that's easy money right there.
Easy work. Point to the easy work then.
That's that. That's easy work. That's Terrence Crawford. I'm taking him, putting my money on Terrence Crawford this weekend. I'm going to lock up me watching some Little League Baseball this weekend, too, because I'm definitely going to be doing that.
You know what?
You can put some money on that, too.
Lock that up and lock up the fact that the Defenders on Marvel kicks off today. You know what I'm saying? This is the wrong time for Madden to come out. I got the Defenders to watch. I'm trying to watch Game of Thrones before Sunday night since it leaked. Got to find it somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, all this stuff is going on this weekend. I still ain't watched, Ray Donovan from last week. And Teen Wolf comes on. Gosh darn it, darn it, darn. Just too much stuff on television. But SummerSlam is this weekend. Wally, you may stick around if you want to, Jay, because I know you won't. You ain't wrestling fans. I'm allowing you to bow out gracefully because we're about to talk wrestling, guys. We just had Road Dogg on the god darn show. So we got to talk about SummerSlam. Okay, so when I talk about SummerSlam, there's only one thing I like to do, and I like to do it the best way that I can do it, and that is playing my theme song. Michael, you know what? You need to go ahead and remix this theme song. You know that? It's up to you, Micah. You're going to take this song. No, don't laugh at me, bro. You're going to fix this song.
I'm just saying, I mean, I can make a beat, but I can make a beat.
I didn't say make a beat. I said remake it. Play the music.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday Night Stats for Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise play.
That's me. What's up, everybody? So I can rhyme just like that, but I ain't a rapper, though. But, you know, just letting you guys know I can rhyme. Again, shout out to my intern Paige on here learning the wills of steals. I'm not a rapper, but I try to be anyway. We're going to do this real fast, guys, all right? Let's kick it real quick. We got SummerSlam this Sunday. Just going through it. We're going to have Micah on the Lock It Up channel. I'm going to name him. I'm going to go. Followed by Micah. Followed by Hugo. And we're moving on. We're not talking about who went, when, and why. Just pick your winners, okay? New Day versus Usos, kickoff, tag team titles. Usos get the belts back. You don't like it, kiss my arse. Lock it up.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up.
Micah, who wins? Lock New Day, up. Usos.
Usos.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
Hugo, Usos or New Day?
Lock it up.
Usos.
Now look at that. A trifecta for the Usos in the Big Apple. All right, we're going to do one lock it up because that's just too many. All right. Big ass. Versus the Big Show with Enzo Amore suspended above a shark cage. This is the passing of the bigs, right? Like you pass the torch. There's only going to be one big in the WWE after this match. And will it be the Big Show or Big Cass? Guess what, y'all? Big Cass wins this match. Who you got here, Micah?
Also Big Cass. Well, technology. Okay. Big Cass, yeah, he's going to win.
Okay. Hugo.
Who cares, Big Cass?
There you go. Lock it up. Another trifecta.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up.
Now, we have an undercard match that I will underrated match, I believe, that people are sleeping on. Randy Orton versus Rusev. Rusev Masra. I'm going with Rusev, y'all. Who you got in this one, Micah?
I'm praying for Rusev.
Praying for Rusev. He better win this. I guess Hugo is going to do the third trifecta.
Hell nah, Randy Orton's gonna win.
Lock it up. Then we got the Women's Championship on SmackDown. We got the Women's Championship on Raw. And we got Naomi versus Natalya. And we got Alexa. Oh, you got a lot of bliss against Sasha. You ain't really all that Banks going on. I'm taking Alexa Bliss and I'm taking Natalya to finally beat Naomi. Naomi, I love you. I know Black Twitter and Black Naomi fans will get mad at me. This has nothing to do with her. She has been not a transitional champion. She has kept the belt longer than I anticipated. Naomi, I love you, girl, but to losing Natalya, it's her time. Give me Natalya. Give me Alexa Bliss. Who you got in this one, Micah?
Give me Sasha Banks and give me Natalya.
Who you got in this one, Hugo?
Give me my girl Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. My girl, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
Let's go with a trifecta. We're all going with Natalya.
But King Vaughn says Naomi wins. Let's see what happens there. Raw tag team titles: Sheamus and Cesaro versus Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Dare I say it's too soon to give it to Seth and Dean? I'm going with Sheamus and Cesaro. Who you got in this one, Micah?
It's going to Dean and Seth. So yeah.
Who you got in this one, Hugo?
Dean and Seth.
There it is. Lock it up.
You better lock it
Bray
up.
Bray Wyatt versus the Demon Finn Balor. I mean, this is kind of easy, right? Because Bray Wyatt doesn't win at pay-per-views in the Demon King, the Demon Finn Balor.
They already beat
Demon
Finn Balor.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying. But on pay-per-view, right. So I'm talking about pay-per-view, though. So we haven't seen the Demon since last SummerSlam. Got to be Prince of Bit. Oh, I'm sorry. The Demon Finn Balor. Is that a trifecta, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. No lock it up. John Cena, Baron Corbin.
Oh, wow.
It's fine, whatever. I'm going Baron Corbin over John Cena because the ceiling has not been touched with Baron Corbin. He needed to lose the briefcase to get out of fans' mind when he was going to cash in and they thought he would win it. I love what happened on SmackDown. You don't like it? Listen anyway. Give me Baron Corbin over the greatest of all time in the WWE, according to them, John Cena. Who you got in this one? Anybody disagree? Anybody think Cena wins?
I'm going with Cena.
No, the luckiest of all time will lose against Baron Corbin. So, yeah.
That's what I say. He has something to gain from this. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon referee. I think Kevin Owens gets his belt back. Give me Kevin Owens. Anybody taking AJ Styles?
Nope.
Everybody says Kevin Owens. Then we have Brock Lesnar, I read two different lines at one time. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman. I told y'all what I thought. I'm going Samoa Joe with Paul Heyman's help, or I'm going Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman's help.
Hey, listen, there's two. Only one.
It's my show.
No, pick one.
I don't want to pick one.
Lock it up.
Be a man.
I'm like
a you be a man. I'm a man. All right, Samoa Joe wins the title, y'all. Samoa Joe wins the title with Paul Heyman's help. Who you got in this one, Micah?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm going with Samoa Joe. With or without Paul Heyman's help, I don't know, but Samoa Joe.
Who you got in this one, Hugo?
Braun!
Really? I like that. Listen, you can't lose, in my opinion, in whoever wins this match. I'm being honest. Even
yes,
if Brock Lesnar wins. Okay. You think if Brock wins, it's a complete loss. That what you think?
No. If Roman wins, it's a complete loss.
Oh, hard wash. I won't stand here and listen to this baloney. Okay, you know I don't like baloney.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't, you know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Fried or any other kind of way. And I don't know why this went last, but my kids love him. He's their favorite wrestler, Shinsuke Nakamura. WWE Championship versus Jinder Mahal. Guess what, y'all? Strong Style does not win this title. The modern day Maharaja will retain his title. Give me Jinder Mahal. Hugo. Micah, who you got?
Wow, you actually took Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I didn't want
to. I'm going Nakamura.
Who you got in this one, Hugo?
I'm going with my boy, Jinder, the modern-day Maharaja, Mahal. Dude.
Mahal, listen, this show is so big, how big is it? We're going to do a post-show! I'm going to do a post-show. You should do a post-show. Come back and do a post-show. Why would we do a post-show? Because we can, and I pay for all this, and, you know, with the help of Fox Sports Radio, but they don't care. You know why? Because we're the number one show on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM. Why else don't they care? Because I'm the flagship show. Why else don't they care? Because it's me, Mike Knox. Listen, guys. We are out of here until Sunday's post-show. That's, I've been drinking too much. And if that's the case, we'll see you on Monday's show. Listen, Monday's big show, best and worst of the weekend, AFC East. We did that already, didn't we? I think so. I'll look at it again. We're going to do an AFC West team. Yes, AFC West and NFC. Which one we didn't do yet? West. Both Westes, AFC and NFC West, will be this coming Monday. Also, fantasy football do's and don'ts. The post-review show of
Monday Night Raw, going into Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. A lot to take place on Monday. Also, great conversation. Des Bryant has been to the media this weekend. We got the baseball media saying that if Carlos Stanton hits the home run record, he's the real home run leader. Really, a lot of things people are saying. We got to talk about it. Don't talk about it. Well, that's on you if you're not here, because we will be talking about it. Listen, do me a favor. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat and don't love God. That's crazy, y'all. We out of here, y'all. Fingers.
Target's got everything you need to ready, set, go back to school.